Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
I'm joined now by Dr. Tomás Ryan, neuroscientist and associate professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology in Trinity College and also a member of the Independent Scientific Advocacy Group. Good morning to you, Tomás. Thank you for joining us on the programme. What's your sense of what you're hearing about the anticipated announcements, the plan for the next few months?
Well, the leaks, as they are, have been very vague, so it's hard to be very critical either way of what's going to happen. We need to move towards having goals that are dependent on the numbers rather than dates. So we need to move towards a situation where when we decide how we're opening up is contingent on getting the virus under control. That means case numbers, that means positivity, that means levels of unknown community transmission or mystery cases. Our view at the Independent Scientific Advocacy Group is that we should be aiming to get to zero community transmission under 10 cases a day. And the issue is that, of course, the lockdown that we're in is already very long. And we've heard from the Taoiseach that will likely be in level 5 restrictions until the end of April. Now, obviously, that's a very depressing scenario from many perspectives. But the optimistic way of approaching this is that this gives us the opportunity to properly stamp out COVID-19 in Ireland. And at the same time, put in place mandatory travel quarantines so that we can stop it coming into the country after that. So I think that the discussion needs to move partly towards how do we accelerate the current lockdown. And by accelerating, Claire, I don't mean leaving it earlier, when can we open up, but by pushing the numbers down faster so that we can then open up sooner.
So making it tougher.
Not necessarily tougher. When you say, let's make this lockdown tougher, that sounds very harrowing to a lot of people, because for a very large part of the population today, the lockdown can't be tougher. Mm-hmm. If you're working from home, if you've got your kids at home, if you're only going out once a day, your lockdown can't be tougher. But there's a lot of people, including in the public sector, who are still going into the office or whose employers are insisting that they go into the office. There's a lot of traffic. Everyone knows this. This is not like the first lockdown. We could be using mass antigen testing. That needs to be brought on board. We do need to be serial testing people in more high-risk environments, not just anyone that is working in a crowded environment. Under these conditions, we should be doing serial testing. We should have ring vaccination priorities for them.
And then looking at what might happen next week, this day next week, we could be looking at quite a lot of mobilisation around a return to school for junior infants, senior infants, first class and second class. Are you concerned about that?
Yes. The view of the Independent Scientific Advocacy Group and my own view is that schools should be last to close and first to open. And only opening those classes at first is a sensible strategy.
And leaving certs, I should have added.
Leaving cert students are adults. And this new virus does infect children more than the previous variant. The B117 variant that is now dominant in Ireland is more infectious in children. It is not true that the only risk around schools is the parents moving around it. That is not true. This virus does infect children, and children do contribute to community spread. So
okay,
as
we
open
from
schools, it
Paul Reid just told me earlier that, you know, that the testing that they have done in schools shows a very low positivity rate, well, much lower than in the community, of about 2%, as opposed to around between 5 and 6 at the moment in the community.
Well, absolutely no disrespect to Paul Reid, but that's a nonsense comparison, because when we're doing community testing, we're not doing mass testing of particular environments. So saying that the positivity rate is lower in schools or is lower in meat factories is not a like with like comparison. Schools are not safe. Schools are safe when the community around them is safe. Children do get infected and children do contribute to the infection rate in the community. And there was some very relevant modeling studies that were done recently in the UK that suggested if you open all the primary schools, you certainly will increase the R numbers significantly in the country. The same is likely true of Ireland.
So are you saying the schools should not open then?
No, I'm saying that we need a coherent plan for when to open which components of schools based on what the actual infection numbers are. I think we need to be doing it on a county by county basis. Right now, the numbers are coming down very well in Cork and Kerry. We are not seeing such progress in Dublin right now. So I don't think that we can have a blanket policy on this. And really, we need to be seeing what we can do to mitigate transmission within schools. We haven't seen enough of this. We need more face mask wearing. We need much more advice on ventilation. I think we still need to be looking at alternative building structures for having more spaced out classes. We need to be looking at blended learning. There's many things that could be done by the Department of Education to make schools safer than they are. And I think that that should be a priority on that aspect of the plan.
OK, travel quarantine on the way, we are told, and yet the Brazilian variant is here.
Brazilian variant is here, and we don't really know how much of it. We have identified three cases, but frankly, the surveillance system for how are we aware for how much of this is here, it's hard to know how we're actually so confident in this, because people are being asked to go for tests 5 days after they come back from a country at risk. Of course, the variant can go between from other countries. And if you're flying from Brazil to Brazil to Ireland and you're changing planes in a third country, you're sitting beside other people on that airplane. The variants are on tour. Travel quarantine is only going to work if we do it for all countries of origin. It's a wonderful progress that we've crossed the Rubicon of having mandatory hotel quarantine, because obviously the legal framework needs to be put in place, the core logistical methods need to be put in place, and there are huge issues here for civil liberties. This is not an easy thing for the government to do. Mm-hmm. But once it's being done in principle, then there's no reason why with effort that we can't expand it to all travel origins.
OK, I want to bring in Greg Ennis, who's SIPTU's agriculture and food spokesperson. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Claire.
Thank you for joining us. And we heard over the weekend Dr. Killian de Gascon from NPHET. He was saying that the failure to tackle the virus at meat plants is a problem, and to put in place sick pay laws to stop workers from spreading the virus is also a problem. And you share those concerns because you know, don't you, that there are people who just simply cannot afford to self-isolate and take the PUP as opposed to their salary.
That's right, Claire. And look, we've been raising these concerns back to Minister Creed's time in March of 2020. And unfortunately, despite our good work and the work of others in the Congress of Trade Unions and Migrant Rights at the Oireachtas Committee, those recommendations that were issued inclusive of the provision of sick pay have not been acted upon by government. And just something I want to come back. Paul Reid said earlier today in his earlier comments about there was some serial testing. We are not at the levels of serial testing in meat plants that we were at last autumn. So the use of the word some is quite telling. Can I just say this? The COVID-19 illness benefit is €350 per week. It's paid for 2 weeks in isolation. And if you contract the COVID, it's paid for 10 weeks. But if you are a worker earning, which predominantly are just above minimum wage in the meat industry, earning €500 a week with inclusive of bonus, that 150, that 30% of salary for 10 weeks is a loss you cannot take. Mm-hmm. So it is incumbent on, it's not good enough for Leo Varadkar to say that we will put occupational sick pay on a statutory footing at the end of 2021. We need to do it now. There's too much talk about caution with this, caution with that. The government's living with COVID plan this week. It must include measures to protect essential workers, their families, by extension, the wider community, and such as sick pay provision, quarantine processes that Thomas spoke about, and action on the Oireachtas Committee recommendations. They issued 10 key recommendations. Very few, if any, of them have been acted upon. And when we reached our agreement through SIPTU with Meat Industry Ireland in September to enhance and underpin the HSE guidelines for workers in the meat industry, the one issue we couldn't get agreement on was sick pay. So as of today, 9 out of 10 workers do not have sick pay provision in the meat industry.
Can I just go back to what you said about the serial testing? And you're right, Paul Reid did say that there was some serial testing underway. Yeah. How reduced is it on what was happening back in the autumn?
It's greatly reduced there. Look, let me put it to you this way. The HSA issued a recent report that found that 47% of all of the workplaces that were inspected after post-wave one were in breach of COVID rules. Serial testing was ramped up in September following the Oireachtas Committee hearings on its recommendations, and it was shown a positivity rate of 0.3%. I may have misheard Paul Reid this morning, but I think he said it was a 2% now. That's really worrying because the meat plants have proven vectors for the transmission of COVID. We have 15,500 people working in the Irish meat processing sector. Almost 3,000 have now contracted the virus over those 11 months. And, you know, what's happening in the workplace, in the meat plants, is bordering on exploitation. We've had three recent clusters within the meat industry in the last number of weeks, and yet those employments were allowed to continue to work on. What needs to happen, Claire, just to make this final point, what needs to happen is, where there are clusters in meat plants, those plants should be shut down without loss of earnings to the workers. They should be deep cleaned, sanitised. The workers should be PCR tested. The HSA needs to inspect, and then only then do they reopen. This is far too serious. We hear about the P1 Brazilian variant and whether these three people were intercepted or whether they came forward themselves. This shouldn't be about nationality. There's 2,000, over 2,000 people have returned to Ireland from Brazil over a four-week period in January. And you know, the reality is, it must be about the safety of those workers, their families and the wider community, and a continued supply of essential foodstuffs. Okay. So we need to do everything, and that the key deterrent here is the provision of sick pay, because workers have been put in an ambiguous position of choosing between going to work or putting food on the table for their families.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid point that you make well. But Tomás Ryan, can I bring you in on whether people who work in meat plants should be moved up the vaccination priority list?
Yes, I think absolutely they should. And I have to say that 2% positivity based on serial testing is a very high number. So the way to respond to this is certainly, I think, a ring vaccination strategy that focuses on people working in high-risk environments, such as meat factory workers. But more than that, I think that what you've just heard touches on one of the reasons in general why this lockdown may not be going as quickly as we would like. And that is that you have to support people to isolate. That means that when you have people who are sick, who are contacts of people who are sick or who work in a high-risk environment, you have to make it easy for them to be required to isolate, for their employer to accept that they need to isolate, and to support them properly. I don't think that we're giving adequate financial support for people who have to do this. And one way of committing to a last lockdown, if we are to make this lockdown our last lockdown, is to have greater financial support for people in general who are out of work, and to pay people who need to isolate because they have symptoms or because they are a close contact of someone who has symptoms. And that this would be a way of increasing the efficacy of this current lockdown. It would allow us to bring down cases faster, and this benefits everyone in the community.
Okay. Just before I let you go, Professor Gerry Killeen, who's your colleague on the Independent Scientific Advocacy Group, I saw in the papers yesterday he was raising concerns about the Euro 2021 Championship going ahead this summer. There are four matches planned in Dublin in June, and a decision is going to have to be made on that soon. Should the matches go ahead, do you think?
I mean, I think it's too early to be saying what we can and cannot do during the summer. It's really in our hands to take control of this. If we keep muddling along, and if we don't get serious about travel quarantine, if we don't finish this lockdown properly, our summer this year will be a lot less free than last year's summer. And I don't think anyone likes that. But if, on the other hand, that we decide that we're going to go for a zero tolerance strategy, which doesn't mean zero cases, but a zero tolerance strategy for COVID-19 in Ireland, we could get things under control in terms of case numbers by the end of April. We could begin to open in a way that would be aimed at almost no restrictions. And by the middle of summer, a lot of things may be very possible, and we could have a situation where we wouldn't be so worried about future lockdowns. So I think that we need to make a choice about that first.
Dr. Tomás Ryan and Greg Ennis, thank you both very much indeed. Now prepare for some vaccine envy. We're going to go to the UK and speak to Enda Brady after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.